You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Sunday's edition of Humanitarian Radio, the radio station pumping out good news for your soul. I am Janie Beauclair and I am here with Tony St. Tone. Good afternoon. We hope you're having a great day. Our normal sunny California here, as we're broadcasting live from Los Angeles, is recovering from a lot of rain over the last few days. Our cities on the Pacific here definitely needed a little boost in water. It's been quite some time since a lot of these areas had gotten a little taste. So we are delighted that we have had the last 4 days of this beautiful rain to refreshen all the flowers and trees and the grass and fill up those big empty ponds that provide drinking water and things of that nature to all of us. So we have a great guest today, and they are going to be talking about exactly that, needs and issues in our drinking water that through technology they have a solution for. Quite brilliant. We celebrate people who come up with ideas that help in building humanity, and it's quite a delight. Look forward to hearing all the great things that they are doing with technology, things that you wouldn't even imagine. And what I absolutely love is we get the opportunity to showcase this everyday, ordinary couple that has just decided that they can do something about problems that are happening, that they have the mindset and the team put together to resolve some major critical things. So I'm very, very, very happy to have them on the show in just a little bit. I also want to give a shout-out to a marketing company that is within my industry called WSI. WSI is a promotional marketing factory that supplies goods to the marketing industry. Why I want to give them a shout out is I received an email over the past week telling me how they went ahead and made a bunch of t-shirts with the U.S. Olympic ski team on it, and they sent it to the owner's brother who is serving in Afghanistan and all of his people out there. So what a really cool gesture to send the whole team in Afghanistan a group of T-shirts to help them feel like they're a part of the celebration of the U.S. Olympic ski team. The ski team obviously did a bang-up job, and so what a cool way for this guy to let his brother and his brother's troop know that, yes, just because we are celebrating the success of so many athletes doesn't mean that we've forgotten about you. And last week we also spoke about the Paralympics that's coming up on March 7th. And I want to encourage everybody to take a peek and see it. And if you have a way to record it because you won't be there to watch it live, do that. Because it is brilliant minds like yours and mine that have created the technology that allows these people to be in a Paralympic. So celebrate it with me, won't you? Hop onto humanitarianradio.com and let me know what your favorite sport or your favorite athlete is for those events. And if you know somebody who deserves to be on our show, whether they are a participant of some sort or if they've created something for the betterment of humanity, please absolutely let us know through humanitarianradio.com or through our Humanitarian Radio Facebook. So we're going to take a brief pause from our sponsors and thank all our advertisers for continuing to support Humanitarian Radio and all our guests. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Give me that best case scenario. I want to hear it full blast stereo.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock song. Motivational musician St. Tone.
I'm a magnet, off of money now. I'm a magnet, off of money now.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. And pick up his newest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Well, it's been a bit challenging in the Hollywood area for those looking to attend the Oscars this weekend. The problem is, is it's been really wet. How do you keep the red carpet dry? So they've erected a whole pile of tents and are hoping to keep their patrons dry. From what I understand from one of the TV little blurbs, George Clooney doesn't like to get his hair wet. I'm happy to know that. So I was looking at movies in the Oscars that have to do with humanitarian effort. And I noticed that on November 30th, there was a pre-Oscar party, and Angelina Jolie was given the Jean Hirschholt Humanitarian Award. And this is given to an individual that's in the motion picture industry whose humanitarian efforts have brought credit to the industry. So the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences president presented this to Angelina for all of her philanthropic work that she's done over the years. So I think that's very, very cool. Some of the other people who got awards from them as well were Angela Lansbury, Steve Martin, and a costume designer, let's hope I say this right, Piero Tosi. So congratulations to all of them. Runners-up also in that effort were Cher and Forrest Gump. Well, there you have it. So congratulations to Angelina Jolie for being an awesome humanitarian, and considering that she has not only taken on the role of humanitarian, but she has adopted children in a humanitarian effort, which is way above the call of duty. Fabulous of her nonetheless, and we absolutely, our hearts go out to her and her family for a beautiful representation of things that you can do with your fame. So when they classify something as a humanitarian movie, what exactly does that mean? Well, generally, it's a movie that tells you about how life is for people in different regions of the world. It will either show great things that people are doing to help others, or it will show bad things that are happening in the world to give you an awareness of exactly what's going on in a particular region. So this year's Oscar movie gem is called That Wasn't Me. This is a 24-minute, so it's a short film, and it is about humanitarian aid workers entangled in a case of mistaken identity in a war-torn African country. So a civil war ensues, and it's untimely, intimate moments of Spanish doctors that are being held hostage. So another true-to-life humanitarian movie. And it's always good that they show these things in order for us to get an eye-opener of other parts of the country and other parts of the world that we are clueless about and could possibly be assisting in stopping some of those revolutions. So we appreciate the director for putting that movie together and the gentleman who wrote that movie, and we wish them luck as usual. And the internet is also all aflutter about the Oscars. I found a blog by a woman, Shannon Younger, and Shannon is saying how she's going to watch it with her daughters, and she's got a young daughter that has inherited her looks, her appreciation for music, and her love of the red carpet before the Oscars. So she's examining, you know, what are the ups and downs, what is the Oscars watching with her daughter going to do for both of them, as in it'll give her an opportunity to talk about people being pretentious and things of that nature. And it'll give her daughter an eye-opener of styles and fashion and things like that. But one of the negative things that this lady says is that she'll be able to express to her daughter that, here's the quote, a humanitarian is recognized as being a ridiculously kind person when they're talking about a star at the Oscars, a humanitarian star. They're recognized as being a ridiculously kind person. What do you think about that? Ridiculously kind if you do something really good for other people. That kind of blows me away, that statement. I would prefer to think of myself as ridiculously kind on a daily basis. So I thought that was a really interesting comment, and I feel like being ridiculously kind can only be good in any realm, any way you cut it. So let's applaud all those stars that are doing great things, because let's face it, they make great money, they're doing awesome things with that great money that they make, and they are leaders in what they do. I mean, a lot of these actors and actresses have done some phenomenal things. A lot of musicians have done phenomenal things, Tony Saint Tone being one of them. St. Tone Band is continually performing nonprofits and doing great things for people in a humanitarian effort. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Of course, we applaud it like crazy because that's what this show is about. It's about finding ways to help your fellow human being. So let's talk about that for a moment. It's springtime. Spring into action. Spring forward. Spring, spring, spring. Jump, jump. Spring makes you think of jumping, right? Jump into something, people. It is your time to shine. What can you do to better the life of somebody around you? What can you do to better the life of a stranger? What kind of talent do you have? Because everybody's got talent. So what kind of talent do you have that will allow you to mentally put together some type of an event that just rolls right into success for your fellow human being? What have you got? Well, there's a lot of great fundraisers for springtime. We were talking last week about a fundraiser where you sell plants. You can sell them as seeds. You can sell them as little container plants. Or you can sell them as pre-grown, couple-inch high. And what a great, fun spring fundraiser. And then, of course, there's the traditional, you know, small-scale lemonade stand. And honestly, it's how I got started in fundraising when I was just a small child. My neighbor girl and myself, we used to set up our little lemonade table at the end of the driveway, and we'd make money with it, and we'd go buy an ice cream. So it's a great way to, you know, literally get your children started in the whole thought pattern. Have them do something really great with that money. Back in the day when I was doing that, nobody educated me on, hey, take that money and do something really awesome with it. Donate it to the local food bank. And then while you're at it, have your child also volunteer with you at a soup kitchen and let people see that you are there for them and let your child recognize that they can take an active part in changing other people's lives by donating their time. It's a really cool, satisfying opportunity to teach a child how simple it is to help someone else. And so say you and your child are putting together a fundraiser. How do you decide which type of fundraiser to pick? Well, to start out, you should look and see what the proceeds are that you will receive from a particular fundraising resource, selling product for a company. We were looking at Yankee Candles a few weeks back and doing a fundraiser where you're selling candles to people, and they offered a 50% profit, which is huge and really, really great that people are willing to partner with you in such a manner where you sell their product and they give you 50% of everything that you make off of it. Well, the Flower Bulb Company, Dutch Bulbs, they also do the same thing. They say you can average 40 to 50% by selling flower bulbs. Now, this is the time of year that you would buy a flower bulb because in another few weeks, as places start thawing out in the north and in the southern states, they can actually start doing this now. You plant your beautiful bulbs now, and they pop up right around April. So the time for selling flower bulbs is perfect right now. And, you know, the colors that come up, they will remind you when the flowers bloom that you gave money to buy these flowers for a really great charitable cause. So it's a lot of fun. It's a win-win. It's beauty and happiness to the person who planted them. It brings beauty and happiness to the person who's receiving a benefit as a result of you taking this effort. So very, very cool. Go out and buy yourself some spring bulbs. Do some Girl Scout cookie buying. That's another thing that's happening right now. And that's always a great something to contribute to, where you not only get some fabulous cookies in your belly, but Girl Scouts are producing leaders regularly, just like the Boy Scouts do. It's two really reputable organizations that help to educate and grow young men and women, and we support them 1,000%. So get out there and buy yourself some Girl Scout cookies. They are delightful. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, and we will return with Miss Gina and Steve and tell you all about their great creation. Hey, this is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals push, let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out artisticjourney.com. see the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion. Okay, so we are back with Gina Davis from Intelligent Wireless Networks. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm awesome, and I'm so happy to have you on our show today. I've been telling the people about you last week and this week because you guys impressed me so hugely with the meeting that I was privileged to attend, talking about what you've created and what you're working on and this great project that has a really big bite into the change of the face of humanity.
Oh, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your support and having us on today.
Absolutely. Now, I haven't told anybody what it is that you guys do, so I'm going to let you introduce your company and what you're doing currently, and then we'll go back to how did you get to that point and what made you think about going this avenue.
Sure, sure. Well, my company is Intelligent Wireless Networks. Currently, we're a California-based company, but poised to really expand our business services all over the world. The world needs technology. We have specifically chosen to stay, or to start, I should say, right here in California for a multitude of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in the most simplest terms, we're an internet service provider in the broadest terms.
Really
However,
broad. Think very, really broad.
Yeah, very broad. But very simply, what we're doing is we're connecting people. We are building wireless infrastructure for places that currently don't have them. And we found that here in California, this agriculture-rich state that we are, the very first communities and areas in California that don't have connectivity are agriculture and rural-based communities and farming areas.
Yeah.
So what we have created and what we're calling it is BRAIN, and that's Broadband Regional Agriculture Infrastructure Network.
I love that name.
Thanks. And why we called it, not only because the acronym fits so well to what it actually is, but farming has become what's now called precision agriculture. It truly is smart farming. And to be smart, you need a brain. So we're building the brain for California's agriculture.
Excellent.
Industry.
And it's so, this is way beyond Facebook connecting people. It's way beyond Ancestry.com connecting you with your family. This is about connecting people who don't have the reach because technology is lacking from wherever it is that they are.
Aren't a lot of these farms located within mountains or within little coves around mountains, and that's why they're not getting all the broadband service that they need? Is that correct?
You are correct. That's one of the major reasons. Topographical obstructions or challenges created by deep valleys, canyons, mountains, even just foothills, in outlying areas right off of main corridors of highway, those areas, and really it doesn't take being too far off of these main highways. We get into these areas, that have some of these challenges, and that's one of the major reasons they don't have connectivity, is because when we start getting off, different types of signal require line-of-sight services, so some of these people just don't have it choosing to live in what I think is some of the more beautiful areas of our state.
Right.
Right, and since they're farms, there's not a lot of other people out there, so I'm assuming that people like Verizon or all these other network companies don't put up a lot of poles in that area.
Well, no, because there's not a lot of human bodies there for them to make their money from.
It's not worth it for them to set up.
The cost doesn't justify the amount of people.
Right, you are right. We, Intelligent Wireless Networks, myself and my partner, my husband, Steve Davis, who's our company's CEO, we have participated in the last 2 years in the state's Broadband Consortia. We specifically belong to the San Joaquin Valley Regional Broadband Consortia. And we've been in meetings with some of the traditional carriers, namely AT&T, and they've been very, very candid with us that while they realize there's a customer base out there, they're just not interested in going. And Tony, you nailed it right on the head. They have existing networks that are being drastically impacted in these bigger urban areas and metro locations that service, you know, tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of users and the devices. They allocate their budgets to maintain and retain current customer bases. They just aren't interested in going into these rural areas. No. They don't see the demographic. They don't see, you know, a large number of people to sell devices to, even though these people are coming to these meetings and saying, hey, we're out here. We want to start home-based businesses. We have farms. We're conducting sometimes international e-commerce businesses,
right.
And we need connectivity. So
right.
They come, they want it, and traditional carriers have just passed on servicing needy clients. So we said, you know what, if they're not going to do it, we will.
It's funny because, you know, you would think at this time and age that everyone would have it, and you wouldn't even think that there's rural areas that don't have the ability to connect. And all you have to do is drive down the highway, and all of a sudden your phone works, and then it doesn't work. As soon as you get out into these mountains, see, Janie and I came from Florida where it's so flat. You can get connection almost anywhere. But here in California, it's such a different landscape that, you know, you're going through a canyon, you're like, I just lost you. That's it.
You can go under a bridge.
Absolutely. Some of the coverage maps that carriers make available to us when we're researching, you know, what's available in different areas. Maybe we're going to move. Maybe we're going to, you know, buy services from a different carrier, and we start researching on the available maps that they show as being providing service to.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that some of those maps just aren't well-defined. So about a year ago, we actually started helping the Broadband Consortia and the state of California and the USDA with redefining what those maps represent, redefining what is considered unserved, underserved, and served areas. And when we did that, we found that the previous maps that showed that these communities had service, you know what, they might have had a little bit of signal, but that's not the same as viable, usable services that one could actually operate on, let alone optimally use advanced technologies, and that's where we get into our, you know, discussion about precision agriculture and smart farming.
Right, right. And that's what really intrigued me about this and opened my eyes to what technology can do for people, because honestly, until I sat in on that meeting and heard the discussion about technology with the water situation in California, it was a real eye-opener for me, Gina, to go, man, all it takes is somebody to put this connection to that connection, and you've literally saved a massive crisis. So talk about technology in a way that is beneficial to the farms, and that, you know, what you were explaining about how technology has a way of connecting things, yes, but also equipment and also a method of literally helping these farmers to continue to exist and profit and be really viable farms throughout the country.
Sure. Wireless communications has done a great job at connecting people, but now we have moved into the next phase of connecting machinery. And our network, our BRAIN network, or Broadband Regional Agriculture Infrastructure, it is dedicated towards supporting today's farmers and their efforts in precision farming. It's providing a network in an ag-based area does a number of things, and we can talk about our water first and foremost. As you know, California is we're in a state of emergency with our drought right now, and there are amazing technologies that are being that can be implemented, and in some areas are, and they conserve water. They take into consideration the actual botanical science behind how a plant grows, applies water only when needed to really do their best at yielding the best crop from that standpoint. All of these technologies, and there's so many others, there's technologies that can help with chemical applications when speaking about fertilizers. Mm-hmm. There's moisture control, so we can actually monitor not just when we're watering the plants, but the actual ground moisture. There are so many technologies out there that really create what precision farming is about, but none of them work optimally, that is, without connectivity. The whole thing is a plant can, we can put sensors, right? In these monitoring systems, that's what they are. They're sensor systems, and they're constantly talking. They're constantly pulling data and reporting back to a central computer. And the point is knowing what's happening with your crop, with your field. This even goes into livestock, ranchers. They can watch their herds. They can watch the process of which they grow forage to feed their animals. All of these aspects can be remotely monitored real time with amazing technologies that have been developed.
And
but that
Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, you know, I was just watching a program the other day on 9/11 and how they created these monument to them at Ground Zero. And what they did is they took trees from three different locations, Washington, Philadelphia, and New York, and each tree has a microchip in it and has its own watering system that it'll water the tree and change the conditions for each tree because each one is potted. So that way none of the trees will die. And I thought that was amazing, and this is exactly
what
you're talking about.
That's exactly the technology she's talking about, yeah.
That these systems now, like, with these chips, if you will, how do they put that in the crop? Do they just single out, let's say, 10 or 100 different plants, basically?
In a large crop, what they'll do is they'll take sections. So they've got an area of acreage, right, that's got, say, let's just call it, let's say they've got walnut trees in it. They'll divide that up into sections or sectorize that area, or maybe it's even by row if we're talking row crops. And so they'll monitor what the ground moisture is like, what those plants in that area is actually, what they're actually doing, and report that, and then a farmer can respond to what's going on. Instead of just looking at that entire plot of land, we're doing it in smaller, manageable sections.
Got it.
So if there is, you know, the beginning of disease, or disease as a response to maybe an insect or something, they can then try to contain that by responding to it, because they have this information real time now. This is the whole point of this data reporting. They can respond to it, contain it, versus old school methods where a farmer, you know, has to go out, they have to look, they have to see, and really they only start ever seeing the effects of a disease or
right.
an insect.
Once it's already
or
gone past.
Overwatering, underwatering,
yeah.
because of the effects that it then has on their crop. Right now, it's kind of like it's like medicine. You want to prevent, not treat a symptom later.
And let's talk
and
about
exactly the position that this technology allows the farmers to take.
And let's talk about that, because you just mentioned medicine, and this whole connectivity thing applies to all kinds of things, not just
it sure does.
Agriculture and that, but it's in technology on a whole. And we had a conversation in our meeting about being able to use this technology for hospitals to be able to communicate with people that are out in rural America. And if you think about it, the connectivity is the missing link for so many things that move the United States into a much bigger realm of performance.
Absolutely. Our rural-based networks is a platform that can positively have a snowball effect.
Right.
Those agriculture areas or rural communities can then be introduced to what's being called telehealth or telemedicine.
Right.
And you hit it on the head. It allows maybe small clinics. It allows them to connect with hospitals located in the larger cities. It allows doctors in larger cities to connect with patients
right.
via secured internet connection. It allows them to not have to come in for those office visits that just maybe a basic consultation. And this is a whole other industry. Doctors and medicine have evolved so much into being able to connect with their patients, treat their patients by just face-to-face interaction. It's gotten a lot of press. Right, you know, here recently,
right.
But it's where medicine is going. However, just like anything else, in order to connect people, in order to connect machines, they've got to have a secured line of communication in these areas.
Absolutely, and this is the void that you guys are filling. Now, I want to get to a question for you, you and your husband both. I know Steve's traveling. We thought we were having him on our show today, but he's traveling, and we appreciate you being here for us, darling. But I want to say, how did you get to a point where you were working with connectivity and went, aha, if we could just connect the dots for all these people, we could literally change major, major things in people's lives here. How did you get to that realization and decide, let's push, let's go for it, let's get on committees, let's start becoming very active, you know, let's talk to Congress. How did you get to that mental point?
Sure. We have a great friend in, his name is Kenny Watkins. He is a vice president for California's Farm Bureau Federation. He's a family friend, mm-hmm. and we were talking to him about some of the issues that he has. We live right here in the heart of agriculture. We live here in San Joaquin Valley in San Joaquin County, and we get to experience the struggle just where we live because
right,
we have poor options, really. I mean, here I am in a position building these networks, yet I work off of a dinosaur system all of the time because this is all that I have. This is my only option.
Yeah.
If I want to connect, I have to use what's available. And we said, well, first of all, that's not good enough because
right.
I can't do everything that I want to do by not having all of the technology available to me. So
totally.
We have a very, you know, first-hand experience in the struggle. But we were talking with Kenny, and he was gracious enough to really push us into connecting with the USDA at a state level, and that led to our state director, Glenda Humiston of the USDA, pushing us to get involved with the first State of California Economic Summit 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it was a great experience. We attended a regional summit meeting down in Fresno, California.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a combination of local agencies, state agencies. We were one of just a handful of privately held companies interested in what the state was doing. The whole premise around the meetings were really to talk about and collectively plan on how to reestablish what our state's economic prowess once was. Over 10 years ago, the state of California was the fifth largest economy in the world. We have
wow.
now slipped down to the 10th largest in the world. One of the biggest drivers behind our state's economy is the $45 billion agriculture industry
mm-hmm.
that's here in California.
Sure.
So we were sitting in this regional economic summit meeting, and we listened to the panelists. They had five areas that they had identified as being major contributors to our state's economy, one of which was water, the water and power, really, our labor force, advanced technologies, including broadband. Everyone had a position, and we sat and we listened, and really, Steve walked away, my husband, he walked away and said, you know what? Truly, I really think we can answer and solve a lot of everybody's problems by giving them connectivity, by connecting them all and giving them an opportunity and platform to use other things that are available. And
right.
we turned our program over. On the back of the cover, we penciled out a schematic of what a network could look like and what it could achieve, and that was the beginning of Intelligent Wireless Networks, our brain, and our movement, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, has anyone else taken into consideration what you guys are doing? I mean, are there other people feeling the same way? That do what you do? Are you really the only ones out there that...
Are you the pioneers?
Pioneers of this? Because obviously it's a need. There's people out there that have this need, and you're saying we can resolve this problem.
Open your eyes. People, let us show you the way.
Do you have to get the government on board, or who do you have to get on board to make all this happen?
You know, we have the support of our local and state government agencies in the few that I have mentioned. They see the need. They see the advantages and the benefits of having it. They realize that conservation is a real thing that we can put such a huge dent in saving our resources by implementing network technologies. They absolutely see it. They see that we can create jobs. They see that the possibilities are endless. So they're in support of us from both, like I said, the USDA, the California Farm Bureau, our local government agencies, our state government agencies. They're wonderful. However, they're not in a position to fund it. They'll constantly facilitate meetings. They'll put us in touch with people who share the same interest. But that's really, talking about it is about all that they can do.
In terms of other public companies,
there are some that are in it for the business, but they're not in it for the platform. So, yeah, we really are pioneering, looking at wireless communications, broadband connectivity in rural areas. We're the only ones looking at it in the way that we are what it can do for people.
Could you get would you need private funding? And if you had private funding, let's say, Richard Branson stepped up and said, how much do you need? $1 million, $100 million? How much do you need? Is it possible for him to put the money up and then you guys just do it? Would that work?
Absolutely. We're in a position now that we talk to interested private parties that want to get involved. Yeah, we absolutely do that.
Yeah, because my thought was if we were to, basically it's like when you get a whole bunch of people to sign a petition so that something can go on the ballot. It's basically we need to get people to understand and recognize that we can help to push this forward if we're all aware of what the situation is and that there is somebody out there who could remedy this for us with the backing. So I think that the biggest goal for you guys is getting the word out there that people, we can do this. All we need is the cash. Can you guys help us put it together?
And I think once it comes forward, they see the results and then they go, oh, what a great idea. Why didn't you guys tell us about this earlier? It's like, we tried to.
Right, right. And I
so
think we're at the point now where it takes, you know, people like these guys to do what they're doing, people like us to tell everybody about it and keep continuing to push to spread the word that, hey, guys, we have a resolution for the issue here. We just need to get to the resolve of getting that resolution in action.
Didn't Barack Obama declare a state of emergency for one of the towns?
Yeah,
up
for the
your
state.
No, 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 for one of the towns that ran into a drought up there.
Yeah, and now into the, for the state of California.
Yes, you're both correct. There, the state of California has entered into a state of emergency, both recognized by the, our state governor, Governor Brown, and President Obama. Yes, and then there is a smaller northern city that immediately had emergency resources in both clean water and financial resources sent to them here just within this last, I think it was 2 weeks. I'm glad you brought that up because there is, just recently, the federal government passed the $100 million farm bill, and it doesn't provide any resources for infrastructure. It's a great, it does provide resources in terms of funding directly to farmers who want to take advantage of technologies that are out there. But it's kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Yes. They're giving them permission.
If they invest in technologies, if they don't have anything to operate on, it's kind of a waste.
Yeah, they're giving them permission, basically, and the cash to use equipment that's being created, but they're not giving anybody the ability to get that equipment working.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So here's a car with no gas.
Yeah.
Exactly. We use that analogy all of the time.
Right. Really? Okay.
Are you guys, are the two of you familiar with the situation with the water tunnels that they want to build?
Yeah.
That will ship water from Northern California to Southern California.
Yeah, and I always liken that to the Alaska pipeline that's taken how many years to build before they could even start pumping oil anywhere. It's the same kind of thing. And by the time they get the pipeline finished, there'll be new technology that zings it to where you want to go in a heartbeat.
Or it becomes obsolete.
Exactly.
So now you're a two-lane highway. You made a third lane instead of making four. By the time it's done, you really need a four-lane highway. So now you're back to where you were. There's that many more cars, and there's that much more need for water coming in. So what you're saying is you can help with not necessarily help with droughts, but help conserve water just through all this technology.
We can help grow crops. Yeah. I mean, it's the technology. What they're providing is this already great technology that's out there, but nobody can use it because they can't get a signal. It's like, here, let's give you a computer, but, oh, sorry, you can't only turn it on.
How hard is it to get a signal and build a tower? I mean, I'm very naive in that, you know?
Sure. So what's really cool about the type of infrastructure and networks that we build is we don't need to erect any more towers. And truly, in the state of California, it's very, very difficult to do that anymore. And really, especially here in the United States, there aren't too many people that really want to see any more towers.
And it's
go
a costly
up.
Expense.
So our net, what's that?
It's a costly expense that you no longer
it's
need.
It's very, exactly. So our infrastructure can actually co-locate on existing buildings, power poles. We can use what's there and what's available and create an efficient, cost-effective, very, very viable, robust, reliable network for them, for communities to operate on. We don't need to build any more towers. And that's one of the reasons is we've come up with a very flexible business model. We know that every network is going to be designed specific for the area and its users. What do those people need? What are we trying to accomplish in every area?
Right.
We're not this big traditional company, service company, network provider that only builds cell towers or only
is one dimensional.
Lays fiber. Exactly. We've gotten outside and created a very flexible business model.
It's very exciting. I have to say it's exciting to know that there are people with great brains like you and your husband that have really corralled the whole thought of this and put it into layman terms here for us, because I have to say your explanation is so understandable that it makes it easy for people to go, wow, these guys have figured it out. How come we're not helping them?
Well, how could you use help? How could you use help to move forward?
Yeah, and that was going to be my question, too. How can people that are listening to this, Gina, and that either know somebody who can help or they can help themselves, how can people best help or jump on board or support you guys?
Sure. I would first invite anybody who's interested to visit our website, and it's intelligentwirelessnetworks.com, and or contact us. Send me an email at info@intelligentwirelessnetworks. Tell me where you are. Share with us your challenges. Do you have connectivity problems? Do you not have connectivity at all? And I know, you know, you may be going into a nearby town to send me that email. You can always call me. We've got a toll-free number that you can reach us at, and that number is 866-876-7371. And let us know what your challenges are. Let us know that you're interested and you want to get involved. Maybe you have somebody, maybe there's a municipality that wants to create a cooperative with us, and you actually want to be part in building your community network. We can help. We can do something like that. We want to provide solutions for people to thrive.
Right, right. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that people, by reaching out to you, you guys might discover other areas that you can help, and people reaching out to you could actually open the thought of whole other areas that the connectivity could be, you know, resolving that haven't been created yet or thought of yet.
I was curious, do you have a particular town or a particular farm that you would want to address first? Let's say someone had $100 million or whatever. Do you have a game plan to go, hey, we would like to help this town first and then help this farm? Or is there any
strategy
as far as where to spend the money? Or is it just like, hey, there's so much that could be done, it's a matter of prioritizing, and is there a priority?
Mm-hmm. Really, we could go anywhere and make a difference. We could go out. We could stay here in California. We can go outside of California. We could go outside of the United States, and we can make an impact everywhere we go. Like I said, we have chosen and really tried to target California. One, because it's our backyard. Mm-hmm. Two, because here in California, just our ag industry, we provide 1/3 of the globe's food source. I want to keep eating. I want to help our California growers keep the cost of food down. So to answer your question, I'll go anywhere. I'll make an impact. I'll provide the most I possibly can. But if I had an opportunity to really prioritize our efforts, really staying in the San Joaquin Valley, and that really stretches from northern Sacramento all the way down past Bakersfield, pretty much up into kind of the Grapevine, because that is the primary source of our food growth.
Which is huge. That's such a huge statement right there, and I'm sure that a lot of people don't even realize that you know, the majority of the percentage of our food that is grown is coming out of an area that is under serious distress right now.
Absolutely. We can't afford we can't afford to not grow
Ignore
our
it.
Food. We can't afford to rely on just imports. One, we got to keep our people working.
Right.
We have options. We don't need to succumb to what's only currently available.
Mm-hmm.
People need to realize there's so much more that we can do if we only create a platform to actually access all of those other options.
Yeah, and if
and
you
that's
think
what
about
we're trying
it,
to open people's eyes.
And you'll cause a domino effect. When people see, you know, there's so many farmers that have had to go out of business and lose the farm and move into other trades and things like that. When people see, mm-hmm. hey, look, our American farmers are becoming successful again. You're going to gain more farmers coming back, and it's only going to enhance, you know, the situation for the Americans currently, because you're going to cause a domino effect and people get excited about, wow, I could actually go back into farming again now.
Should we have a California Farm Aid concert for you?
I think we should.
Oh,
I
that
think we
would
should
be
have
awesome.
Farm Aid connectivity party.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of musicians that live in California, and just like John Cougar did,
right,
you know,
he did
if we
for
had
his area.
A Farm Aid California
humanitarian radio
concert. You could actually raise some money and raise awareness that, listen, there's a way to solve this problem that you didn't even realize there's that much of a problem, and it can easily be achieved. It could be something to consider.
I think it's a great idea. Gina, we've been talking about doing 3 concerts this year through Humanitarian Radio and picking what we're going to do them for, who we're going to do them for, and I think that we have just found one of our causes here.
Yeah, I think it's a...
Oh, I think that sounds wonderful. You know, and in that kind of environment, everyone's having a good time. Everyone is talking and sharing their thoughts. I mean, it's just, it's kind of like this... A rally of a think tank.
Yeah.
You know, people come, just awareness and ideas that spur from people coming together and just talking about their interactions and their efforts and sharing their ideas. Those are priceless moments where, you know, who knows, the next technology could be developed from something like that. I think it's a great idea.
Well, I've been really talking it up over the last few months, Gina, about how people have so much in their brain that they can use for the benefit of other things, and they just have to get out of their own way, basically, and realize what they have the ability to create. Now, in you guys' case, you created technology. In other people's case, they can just be creating a method to help support people like you who have done things. You know, they don't have to be the Einstein inventor in order to get involved. We absolutely push really hard for people to, look, find something you resonate with and then back it. Back it in any realm, whatever is needed, whether it's getting the word out, which in this case, get the word out. My God, the more people can understand this, the easier it's going to be for them to jump on board. And it's a thrill for us to be able to have you on the show and let our listeners understand exactly what's happening. And yes, we geared it towards California, but the fact of the matter is, this is going on in every state in the union in one realm or another, whether it's in the healthcare industry or the farming industry or whatever. Every state's got a spot where somebody's not getting connected, and that somebody who's not getting connected could be the guy who has something to change the world like you guys are doing.
I couldn't agree with you more. If you're eating food, if you're drinking or using water, if you're in a school, and if your children are learning, if you are concerned about your health or concerned about taking good care of yourself, any one of those, you are directly affected by this, and you can really be involved. You can benefit from it. You can make it what you want.
Absolutely. So, again, we want to thank Gina Davis for joining us with IntelligentWirelessNetworks.com, and we want to dedicate this next song called Shine by St. Tone to all those out there who are shining their light for the first time with new technology.
I'm here shining my light for the first time in years. Outside and you feel you've been denied. day, found in sunlight through the rain. You trust in you. And I'll be there to help you follow through. Yes, I'll be there when darkness blinds the truth.
Time.